Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a wonderful day to be together in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it is just a privilege to be here. And as we begin a brand new series in the book of Proverbs, I know some of you are super disappointed because last week we kind of teased maybe Romans. And so you've been reading Romans diligently. Praise God. Keep going there. But Proverbs is where we're going to be for the next year, two, three, four. But why Proverbs? Why Proverbs? You know, Proverbs is that's in the middle, pretty much, of the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. And Proverbs is one of those things that we kind of go to when we want something good to say or we want some wisdom. And what I want us to do is I want us to take a more thorough approach to God's word in the book of Proverbs, because it builds on that which the foundation that we've laid when it relates to becoming a disciple who makes disciples. We just talked about everyday faithfulness. We wrapped that series up. We talked about the Jesus way before that. We spent all the last part of winter and spring in 1 Timothy in preparation to become the kinds of disciples that God plans and desires for us to be. Amen? And so as we've looked at that, as we've examined that, I think it's appropriate that we begin establishing and getting equipped with the tools on how to live with wisdom. Amen? Wisdom. So why Proverbs? In Proverbs chapter 3:13, we read this: "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold." Think about that for just a moment. Let's sit on that idea that the one who finds wisdom is what? Blessed. And the one who gets understanding of the deep things of God, the gain from wisdom, the text says, is that it's better than any silver or any gold. What a contrast to the culture in which we live, amen? We live in a culture that is driven by material success and getting that which is bigger, better, and faster, and outdoing our competitors, and the size of our portfolios, our 401ks, our savings accounts, our all of that stuff. And here we have the Word of God standing in direct opposition, saying, you know what is even better than all of the accumulation of wealth, all of the success? Wisdom. Wisdom is better than silver or gold. And yet, how little do we actually spend pursuing wisdom? We spend lots of time pursuing money, don't we? We spend lots of time pursuing our desires, our comfort, our convenience, but wisdom, not so much. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there are over 930 sayings, wisdom sayings, and many Christians only know about three of those. Look on the screen. It says one of them is to fear the Lord, right? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. To fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Or that we lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways we acknowledge him. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Some of you might have that embroidered on a pillow or on a plaque on the wall in your home. Or parents in the room, grandparents in the room, to train up their children in the way they should go. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Maybe some of you have that backup one that says, spare the rod and spoil the child. How many of you use that in your experience? Children in the room. It's in the text, so. Maybe some of us have learned or understand Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, right? Proverbs 31 Ministries is a well-known ministry. But really beyond that, we don't really understand or know many Proverbs. One of my personal favorites is "A fool's mouth invites a beating." It really is in the text. Some of you are like, there's no way that that's in script. It actually is in scripture, and we're going to talk about that. So what is a proverb? This morning is all about orienting us and introducing us to the book of Proverbs. What is a proverb? Well, what about this? God helps those who help themselves. Anybody ever use that as a proverb? It is proverbial, but it is not in the Bible. It actually comes out of 1 Opinions chapter 2, verse 3. Or how about this one? God will never give you more than you can handle. Anybody ever hear that or say that, perhaps? Well, that's found in Assumptions chapter 5, verse 4. It's not actually found in the text. Or what about cleanliness is next to godliness? I actually happen to believe that to be true as a parent of 8 children who has a little OCD tendencies. But that's, again, found in 2 Opinions chapter 4, verse 13. Or what about this one? Money is the root of all evil. Harrisonians chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Because we know that God's word doesn't say money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of evil. But you can see how we sometimes confuse these proverbial sayings. In fact, Benjamin Franklin is responsible for some of these. But we just assume that they're in the text because what? There's 930 sayings of wisdom in Proverbs, and we don't really spend a lot of time in that. Why? Because it's in the Old Testament. Some of it is confusing. Some of it seems contradictory. In fact, there's almost directly opposition to itself. It says, answer a fool according to his folly. And then it's immediately followed by, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Well, which is it? Well, it's both, depending on the situation. And so the goal is to help orient us and help us to understand as we grow and pursue wisdom. Because just like anything worth doing, the more you do it, the more you're engaged in it. Like if I want to become a runner, what do I need to do? Run, which is crazy unless someone's chasing you. But if I want to be a gardener, what do I have to do? Garden. If I want to be more well-read, more well-traveled, I need to read more. I need to go on more trips, right? If I want to grow in wisdom, what do I need to do? I need to learn and spend time with the wise. And so Solomon is the author primarily of the book of Proverbs. If you have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. It establishes, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And so here we, in these opening lines, Proverbs, these are the wise sayings of King Solomon, the wisest man arguably that has ever lived except for Christ himself. Because remember in the story as Solomon was growing up and preparing to take over the kingdom from his father David, remember that prayer that he prays to God, I pray for what God promises anything you ask for, Solomon, I will give to you. And what does he pray for? He says, Lord, I want to be wise. I want to exceed and excel in wisdom and learning. And so God blesses him and gives him that gift. There are other authors in Proverbs. It's a collection of sayings. It's not just one author. There are multiple authors. Ultimately, there is one author, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so this is divine revelation. This is God's word. And so we can benefit and grow in our wisdom as we pursue it. The word proverb, just so you know, is masal. Everybody say masal. Not masala, that's an Indian food, tikka masala. It's very good, but a masal is a proverb from Hebrew, and its technical definition is a condensed but memorable saying embodying some important fact of experience that is taken as true by many people. I don't like that definition, do you? It's very technical. I think for our purposes, a proverb is a wisdom saying that incorporates truth and applies it to life in a pithy or illustrative way. A proverb is something that takes something to be true and it illustrates it in a way that is memorable and understandable. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's proverbial. It's not in the text, but it's a proverb, right? In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord orders his steps. That is found in the text. And so we're going to learn what does it mean for us as Christians, as disciples of Jesus in 2025 and beyond, to live for his glory and wisdom. Now, it begs the question, what is wisdom? So I pose that question, what is wisdom? How would you define wisdom? Just go ahead and shout it out. How would you define wisdom? Knowing what to do in every circumstance. Very good. Lessons learned. Knowledge. Knowledge is power, as I recall from cartoons in the 1980s. Someone else. What is wisdom? Or maybe a better question is, who would you consider as wise? God? Who else? Who would you consider wise? Pastor Jeff, thank you. Nobody said it, so I had to say it for you.
Older people.
You would hope so. But not always. Who else?
Solomon.
What's that?
Solomon,
very good. Professors? Theologians? Those who follow the Word. Very good. You see, we all, when we think, you know, I think of my grandmother, Grandma Doe. She had a lot of wisdom that came, that was born through experience and adversity. And so it does follow that those that are more advanced in experience in life would have wisdom. And we as young people, and as we're going to see throughout the book of Proverbs, we see this posture of those that are older instructing and giving wisdom to younger people, because young people, because we lack experience, because we lack knowledge, oftentimes we make poor choices. And that's why it's so important for us as disciples, especially as older disciples of Christ, to be engaged and in relationship with younger people, passing along wisdom, passing along understanding, passing along instruction. And for us as young people, and I'm including myself in both sides, I have a foot in both worlds, to listen and to lean in and to cherish and not reject the wisdom of our elders, those who have experienced more life. Now, age does not necessarily guarantee wisdom. Experience, however, does. And so you can have someone who's young but who has traveled and who has experienced different cultures, who is more well-read and understands more and have greater wisdom than someone who has been on the planet much longer. Does that make sense? And so we have an opportunity to learn from each other. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is from the word chokmah. Everybody say chokmah. Yeah, you got to get that phlegm sound in the back of your throat with Hebrew. And it simply means this: accumulated knowledge or erudition or enlightenment. Understanding that is beyond your capacity. But I think that there's much more to wisdom, biblically speaking, than just knowledge or erudition or enlightenment. Wisdom is really the ability to discern the difference between good and evil, what is right and what is wrong. So someone who is wise, who is growing and learning in wisdom, is one who is able to discern the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. In fact, John Aiken says it this way. He says, Solomon says that wisdom is ethical. He says that the purpose of the book of Proverbs is for you as the reader to receive correction in order to be wise in righteousness, justice, and integrity. Therefore, biblical wisdom is not intelligence or high IQ. And oftentimes we get that confused, don't we? We look at the theologians, we look at the professors, we look at those who have terminal degrees like a PhD or a doctorate, and we go, man, they have spent a lot of money and a lot of time in school learning a lot of things. They must be really, really wise. Enter in COVID and Dr. Fauci. Not to be political. Please don't hear me there. But there are times, and because you have agreement and disagreement on both sides of that, correct? And so we look at that, we look at these people that are in positions of power and authority, and we think they have to be wise. They have to know what's going on. But the reality is, true wisdom is the ability to discern between good and evil. So that's where Aiken says, therefore, biblical wisdom is not intelligence or a high IQ. It's the knowledge of good and evil. A wise person can tell the difference between right and wrong and the situations in which they find themselves. And oh Lord, couldn't we all grow in wisdom together? Amen? In Proverbs, wisdom is likened to a woman. Woman wisdom. And she calls in the streets. Proverbs 1 verse 20 and Proverbs 9, 1 through 10. It says in Proverbs 1, 20, it says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. And in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the light, in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. See, woman wisdom is calling all of us to enter in and to sup at her table, to learn and to grow, to nourish us and feed us so that we will live prudent and wise lives in right relationship with God and with one another. And who doesn't want that? Amen? But also in Proverbs, there's another woman. A competing woman to woman wisdom, and her name is Woman Folly. She also calls in the unsuspecting from the street to go into her, promising all sorts of things, but really knowing nothing. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. In contrast to woman wisdom, the woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Again, the call from woman folly is the same as woman wisdom. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. On the one hand, the difference between woman wisdom and woman folly is that woman wisdom promises life and is able to give it. Woman folly also promises life, but only death resides with her. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, as disciples of Christ, we have the choice to make. Are we going to grow and pursue wisdom and listen to woman wisdom, or are we going to be seduced by woman folly, where the dead abide? What is folly? Well, it's the opposite of wisdom. The choice of the not good and making the wrong decision. Folly, foolishness, a fool, all those words are in direct opposition to wisdom, prudence, and the wise. Which would you rather be characterized by? Foolishness and being a fool, or wisdom, prudence, and being considered wise? I know for me, I want to be considered wise. But that means I have to invest the time, the effort, the energy, the study of wisdom so that I might grow in wisdom. In fact, in James, what does he say? He says, let all who desire call out to God and ask for wisdom. But be careful that you don't ask for wisdom and then act foolishly. Otherwise, you become a double-minded person. Folly really is the trait, and I love this definition. Folly is the trait of acting stupidly or rashly. Think about the decisions you've made lately. Have they been foolish? Have you been pursuing folly? Have you been stupid? Have you been rash? Sometimes that's me. How about you? But we can grow in our wisdom. And according to Genesis and Proverbs, foolishness always leads to death. If you think about in the Garden of Eden, remember that story, that reality when Adam and Eve were created and placed in the garden. What did God say? He said to Adam and to Eve through Adam, you may eat of all of the fruit of all of the trees in the garden, except what? One, the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan's temptation was, yeah, of course God is going to not want you to say that, because as soon as you eat it, he knows that you're going to become wise like him, able to discern the difference between good and evil. And so what did they do? They saw the fruit, they considered the temptation of the serpent, and they saw the fruit, and they saw that it was good for making one wise. So they ate. And then their eyes were open, and they realized that they were both naked and afraid. See, what was promised, woman folly, seducing the innocent, the inexperienced, had come in here. It looks good, doesn't it? You know you want to eat it. It's not really going to do what God says it's going to do. And so they ate of the fruit. Adam says, wow, you didn't drop dead, Eve. God has been lying to us. So he eats, and then we know the rest of the story. The father comes, he says, where are you? We were hiding because we were afraid of you. Covered themselves. Who told you you were naked? And that we see the rest of history and the fall of man and the curse of sin. It led to death. And in Proverbs, it's no different. As we read the instructions, as we read the wisdom, as we see the comparison between the wise and the foolish, the fools always end up dead. They might seem temporarily successful for a season, but God is in control and he will not be mocked. Wisdom in Christ, because ultimately Proverbs is a book that points to Jesus. It points to Jesus because the Lord Jesus Christ is the greater Solomon. Solomon was wise, and he is in the lineage of David, and David's kingdom will be established forever, but it's the Lord Jesus who fulfills the promises and fulfills the wisdom of God ultimately, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God made flesh. John chapter 1, verse 1. And in order for disciples to grow in wisdom, we must grow in who? Christ. And so as we study the book of Proverbs, as we mine its depths, as we understand, as we seek understanding and instruction on how to live in right relationship with God and with each other, we are actually going to grow into the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because he himself is the fulfillment of all of God's promises and instruction of wisdom in Proverbs. Matthew chapter 7. That famous passage, the Sermon on the Mount, at the end, as Jesus is finishing his preaching, his sermon, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And what's the rest of that? And the rains came down and it fell against it, and yet it withstood all of the troubles and the tribulations of life. Why? Because a life built on the words of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, will endure forever. Amen? But in comparison, everyone who hears these words of mine, that is the words of Christ, and does not do them, will be like who? The foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains came down and beat against it, and great, great was its destruction and ruin. Brothers and sisters, as we pursue Christ, as we grow as disciples in the grace and knowledge of Christ, we need to grow in our wisdom. Because we don't want our lives to end up shipwrecked and destroyed and great ruin. We want to be able to withstand for the glory of God. Amen? Are you with me, church? Amen. And so we're going to spend the next however long it takes. And it's going to be fun. I promise. Anybody excited? Please say yes.
Yes.
Good. We're going to spend the next few months in the book of Proverbs, mining its depths so that we can as we mentioned in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gains understanding. For the gain from her, that is wisdom, is better than gain from silver and profit better than gold. Continuing on, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. And may we be blessed by pursuing wisdom together to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this brief introduction into the book of Proverbs, Lord. And Lord, I look forward to studying and preparing and speaking on your behalf the words that you have recorded, Lord. We thank you for Solomon. We thank you for King Lemuel and his mother, and we thank you for Agur and all of those that contributed to these wisdom sayings that have been collected over the centuries, Lord, that represent the best knowledge applied to life in relationship with you and to others. And Lord, some of these will be very familiar. Some of these will be very obvious. Some of these are going to be very painful, Lord, as we have to examine our own lives and our own preconceptions and our own assumptions about what makes one wise, what makes one foolish compared to your word. And I pray that, Lord, that the net result of our investment of time and effort will be that we grow in our own wisdom and that we desire and hunger for wisdom, for we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. And so, Lord, may we have a right relationship, a right understanding of who we are as created and you as creator, the Lord of all, the King of the universe, the one who holds the heavens and the earth together by the word of your power. And that, Lord, that you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light to be your representatives, to be your ambassadors. But we can't do that if we're fools. So may we grow in our wisdom and our understanding and apply that truth to our lives so that life might just pour out of us to the glory of your name. We love you so much and we give you all honor. And all God's people said, amen. At the end of the day, we have nothing else but to give God our praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for worshiping with us. Thanks for spending this time in the Word and in communion together as we celebrate and honor the Lord's death until he comes again. And we can't wait. Jesus, come soon. Amen.